welcome to the Antioch Fort Worth Weekly Podcast. At Antioch, our desire is to cultivate a passion for Jesus and his purposes on the earth. To connect with us in community, partner with us through giving, or visit on a Sunday morning, please visit antiochfortworth.com.
So, I'm talking about business as kingdom mission. The only thing stranger than that is to talk about lawyers as kingdom mission. Because that's what I was for 30 years. There's a couple of ways to look at this. Business and kingdom mission. The business is business. And it has nothing to do with mission in Christ's name. That's the way when I went to law school and got out, that's what I thought. Secondly, is business for kingdom mission. Now that's a little higher. It says business as the ability to make money in order to give it to people who do the mission. But the conduct of the mission or the conduct of the business has nothing to do with mission. That's the vision. I was told you don't bring that born-again stuff to the courthouse. Separate this. That's the way the world, that's the way our culture works now. It's compartmentalization. Insulate your religion into this little compartment and then just go out there and do whatever. There's a pre-Civil War baptism rite that literally slaves had to repeat and say out loud. Look at what this says. And this slave owner is putting this on the slave. As they're baptized, you declare in the presence of God and before this congregation that you do not ask for holy baptism out of any design to free yourself from your duty and obedience you owe to your master. Now, what that does is reinforce the status quo. There's no change at all. We compartmentalize the spiritual from business. Oh, and that slave owner could sell that slave's wife next week, no big deal. So you separate the inward from the outward, the physical from the spiritual. You separate water baptism from business. And people say, well, so what? Baptism cannot be separated from business because we die to sin and come alive in Christ. See, if Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God, and he did, then what is the relationship of the business of law to the kingdom of God? That's been what I've been working on for 30 years. I didn't know when I started. It's dangerous. You know, the fact is, the answer transformed my understanding and practice of law, but nobody had talked to me about this at seminary. We talked about spirituality in an insulated room. And nobody talked about this at law school. Nothing. At a Christian law school, supposedly. The fact was that in Colossians Philemon, Paul is calling the entire church, including Philemon, to do business as mission in response to the call of Jesus. And if you read it from the point of view of Philemon, and I read it from my point of view, see, this wasn't written to me or to you, but it was written for me and for us. So don't disconnect. The answer to all this transformed my life. Paul is calling Philemon's business practices to be an embodiment of the kingdom of God on earth. He calls Philemon to embody the kingdom in his family business. See, Philemon's doing business in his house. This is pre-industrial revolution. They're running a business inside the house. So when he's talking to his slaves, he's talking about business. And when he talks to Philemon, he's talking to the big dog. He's the pater familias. He's got all the authority in the room. He sucks all the air in the room. All the power then was centralized in the male master. The admonitions, though, in Philemon are to the husbands and the fathers and the masters, and not just to wives and children and slaves. Everybody does all that you do unto the Lord all the time. Nobody ever heard of this before, because this isn't religion. See, religion, you can do that with religion. Religion compartmentalizes. The kingdom doesn't. Jesus brought the kingdom down right in on top of us, and it's everywhere. He loves downtown Fort Worth just as much as he likes this. This is not his sanctuary. We say it is. It's not. The whole creation is. All of it. But we're told all the time that's not true, but it is true. So this is what's happening as Philemon is hearing this. What Paul is saying is, Philemon, you think that male and female are one, and you're the one. You're wrong. You're not the one. Jesus is the one. So what does it mean when he says, when I say business is kingdom mission? What is happening here? Let's just walk through this. First of all, number one, he tells Philemon that Jesus is the creator, Lord, and firstborn of all creation. This is not your creation, Philemon. This is not your space. Your business is not your space. And some people say, preacher, you get it over here. What goes on in here on Sunday, that's your space. But over here is my space. And we're going to do things the way we want to do it out here. It has nothing to do with Jesus. He's telling Philemon, this isn't your space. There's no space on earth that is your space. You can't detach your praying and praising from your mouth, from your business. All that praising going on today, that's done in your business. That's done in your work, your walk around life. I'm talking about, you know, stay-at-home mothers. I'm talking about everybody, neighborhood businesses, house businesses, downtown Fort Worth businesses. This is what he is saying here. He's saying, we can't do the Godfather thing. You know, you see the end of The Godfather, that's an old movie, but it's really good. in a violent sort of way. Because at the very end, Corleone and Coppola's preaching here. Francis Ford Coppola's preaching. He's got him declaring and he's renouncing the works of Satan while all of his henchmen are killing all of his enemies. That's the Godfather problem. That's the compartmentalization of life. Christ came to resurrect the entire creation. He didn't come to build church buildings. Secondly, Jesus, Philemon, has redeemed you and your business. That means he has set you free from the powers. He set you free from business idols. He set you free from believing that success is a god. So do all things to the Lord, even when you lose money. Number three, Philemon, this is Jesus' church. It meets in your house, but it isn't yours. So shrink down there, big boy. Here there is no slave or free. I mean, that busted his balloon. No slave or free? What do you mean? Gee, I get, you know, that doesn't sound right. No, it doesn't sound right. It takes us hundreds of years to even believe this stuff. But Christ is all in all, he says. In your house, Jesus is head. And by the way, Philemon, stop thanking God every day that you're not a slave, a woman, or a barbarian. Most guys did that. The VIPs did that. The church is where we do new creation. Number three, or number four now, forgive all the time. It may be bad for your prophets, but forgive. Especially receive this guy Philemon back. Of course, Philemon's saying, man, that's bad practice. We don't want to start that. We could have to forgive everybody. That'd be awful. So he's saying, and you have forgiveness three times in Colossians 3:13-14, but you've got forgiveness, reconciliation, and restitution working all the way through Philemon. I'm building right now on what Jamie's preached, what Graydon's preached, what Isaiah's preached, others. This is where this goes. What Paul is doing is this. He's priesting two guys. Priests bring people to God. We are a royal priesthood. That's who we are. That means we're always bringing people to God and to each other. That's what he's doing. In a world of division, in a world of trash talking, a council culture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he says that it's okay to seek your freedom. But in Philemon, what he's saying is, Onesimus, this isn't the way to do this. You don't just run off and rip the guy off, steal. That's not the way to free yourself. We must become first a new creation in the church and see what happens to slavery. What happens to it is it's gutted from the inside out. Fourth, Philemon, in Philemon 16 and 18, he says, Onesimus is your brother. Onesimus means useful. And Philemon thought he was useless. He's saying to him, not only is he useful, there's been an adoption. There's been an adoption. Onesimus has been adopted. When he went to see me, when he came to see me, he got adopted. And the heavenly court has declared that he is your brother now. You don't get to decide. You don't decide this. There is a new identity. And man, you're going to have to pray for the Holy Spirit to help you see this. Because when you look at this guy, you've never seen a human being before. You've seen a human tool. You've just not seen it. Number six. Put on the new nature, chapter 3, verse 10, which is put on the new nature of Jesus Christ, which is being renewed in the image of the Creator. We're being renewed in the image of the Creator. What he's saying to Philemon is, live as a redeemed image bearer at your business. In other words, he's recovering calling. See, today I want to encourage all of you who are not working full. You think you're not full time for the Lord, you are. But you're not being paid. You are in full time service. You are doing kingdom business all of the time. But you must understand that Jesus Christ has liberated you from the idols of the marketplace and delivered you for a calling. You have a calling. You say, well, I don't have a calling. Yeah, you do. Don't let the pastors take all the callings. I told a bunch of pastors one time, I said, you guys have a calling, but so does everybody else in your church. And they said, well, that might be true. I thought, golly, guys. I'd like to flunk all you people. They were taking a course from me, and man, you flunked it. Calling. In the scripture, it says, live a life worthy of the calling. How simple is that? So, live as redeemed image bearers. And you know, you ask, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? What did that mean for you as a lawyer? I was a family lawyer. I don't even believe in divorce. I've been married a couple of centuries. 50, not the greatest lady in the world, 56 years. So you know what family lawyers are? I said, I need a vision of what I'm doing here. You know what it's like? It's like driving up on a head-on collision. And they weren't wearing their seatbelts. And they got thrown out into the street. And there, some of them are dead and some of them are alive. And you're the first person. What are you going to do? Drive by on the other side? I didn't see that. That's awful. You know, I don't want to mess with that. Okay. Or you could stop and pick everybody's pocket, take advantage of them. You could be a predator. Or you could stop and get down there and get your hands dirty and see, what can the Lord do with this? Because this is where a bunch of people are. And this is why I'm here. That's why I'm here. And you know what? That just put fire in me. Some people said, well, you can't be a lawyer and a Christian. I said, I have problems being a pastor and a Christian, but but the lawyer thing's working pretty good. In 2009, Bernie Madoff was convicted of 11 felonies, and he didn't function as a calling in the world. It was a tragedy. You know, his Ponzi scam, it was a $64 billion scam. It affected 4,800 clients. It was a disaster. What was he doing? It is a disaster when we don't function as image bearers and represent the creation. He was a predator. He was a brilliant, genius, financial planner predator. That's what he was. No wonder he died in high blood pressure in prison, just because of all that happened. I love the fact that Yeshiva University in New York condemned publicly his unfaithfulness to the calling. They came out and said, that's not what we teach. Genesis 1, 27 and 28, the human mandate, we all take care of each other. And I respect the Jewish understanding of calling and the thousand times the word justice appears in the Old Testament. So I had a reason. There's a place out there for you to live your calling out in the middle of the world. Number 7, especially if you clothe yourself with kindness, compassion, humility, gentleness, and patience. And if I'm Philemon, I'm saying that is not masculine. Those aren't masculine traits. Yeah, they are. You just have a jaded view of what it means to be a man. You don't think gentleness is masculine? Compassion? Humility? And by the way, in that passage, this is chapter 3, verse 12 of Colossians, no rage, no violence. You don't get to trash anybody because they bought. You don't get to kill anybody. See, none of these were Greco-Roman virtues. And it was legal to kill your slaves. If you had just cause, you could do that. See, these are qualities of the Heavenly Father, Philemon, that he wants in you all the time in the world. And also, chapter 3, verse 5, by the way, there's no sexual immorality. There's no porneia. Porneia is a big word for all sexual immorality. That means, Philemon, you don't get to have sex with your female slaves that are unmarried like everybody else does. You don't get to do that. You don't get to have sex with any other woman other than your wife if you're married. Wow, that's bad news. He's wondering, what? What have I gotten into here? Chapter 3, verse 5, number 8, greed has no place. Greed. No place. In other words, the idea that there's never enough, never enough, has no place. Well, and not only that, you know, selling slaves was very lucrative. In 1 Timothy 1:10, and this is something every time I read scripture, I think, man, I missed it. I missed stuff. 1 Timothy 1:10 says, you can look this up. It's actually there. Slave trading is against sound doctrine. Oh, you can't sell people and make a ton of money. You can't do that anymore. Why? Because there aren't any useless people anymore. Everybody's a child of God. Everybody's made in the divine image. No human being can possibly be given the right to sell another human being. Now, the whole issue is, do you understand they're human beings, not human tools? He had to go over, you know, they had to read this letter several times. Pray about it. Reflect on it. You know, the compartmentalization of Scripture away from the marketplace is really powerful. 1 Corinthians 6, 1-9, that's the most unfavored passage for lawyers in the Bible. It says, don't sue people outside in the courts over money. And lawyers will tell you 1,000 reasons why that's not pertinent to life now. That doesn't relate now. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 6, 1-9, Paul says, why not be wronged? Oh, no, Paul. That was written to those guys, and they had a problem, and we just need to sue people to make things right. Well, that's compartmentalizing again. None of this really relates. See, what you do is you end up reading Scripture, and none of it relates to the real world. It's like the darndest thing. It's just, you know, you just shrink the lordship of Jesus down, 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 and now finally you got you a little religion here. And you're going to go to heaven when you die. That's not what he came to do. Greed produces permanent anxiety. We spend more than we have even before we have it. It creates huge stress. We don't really have income problems, we have spending problems. That's been my experience. The simplicity of it is godliness with contentment is great gain. Number 10, Colossians 1:28. Philemon, he's calling you to fullness, to maturity, to wholeness, completeness. One life. No schizophrenia. You don't put on your lawyer stuff and then take it off and then put it back on. You don't live two or three different lives. You live one life. One life. As kind as I might be today and hearing how easy it is, because y'all are nice to me. You're good to me. When a lawyer screams at me, it's not easy. He just trash talking my client, trash talking me. Not easy. Finally, number 11, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Full of grace. Full of grace, it says. That's chapter 4, verse 6 of Colossians. There was a lawyer that I really did not like. that I had a three-week jury trial with, and he confirmed to me that he was the most unethical lawyer in Fort Worth. And so one day when we were leaving the courtroom, I got in his face and said, you are living up to your reputation as being the most unethical lawyer in Fort Worth. And I walked out. That was wrong. I'm not his judge. And I got convicted about it. And you know what happened was the Lord led me to friendship with him and to hearing about his life. And he began to share with me stories. And this happened years as the years went by and we continued practicing law. I wasn't full of grace with him. I was full of judgment. Harshness, just like America is now. Righteous. Yeah. Righteous harshness. Yeah. No. Wrong. I began to hear Rob tell me stories about how he blew it as a father and how he was making it up with his son. Still remember those stories over and over. He'd tell me a story every time I'd see him. I was so glad I had a chance to repent of my self-righteousness. In the business, I realized that people, not money, is the most valuable asset of any business. Had a legal assistant who looked like she just was about to die. She's emotionally and physically. So finally, one day I said, hey, come on, come in here, let's talk. And I couldn't bill for that time. You don't bill, it doesn't make you any money, but I hurt her heart. And she was a Baptist girl that thought she didn't belong in church anymore and didn't belong with Jesus anymore. And she's working for me, and I didn't even know this. And she's in despair, and she wants to just die. Bottom line is, she came back to the Lord and was in a home church in our house for years. Because people, not money, are the most valuable asset of any business. Now, finally, here in the last 5 minutes, I'm going to keep running here. Let's just talk about worship, because this is what blew my mind, too. And I agree, we're here to worship. But you know what we're doing here is we're sharing our worships here today. Worship didn't start today, and it's not going to end here in about 15 minutes. It ain't going to end. You don't walk out and get away from God. So there were six Greek words for worship in the Roman world. All of them referred to the worship of man-made idols, always conducted by a professional priest in a man-made pagan temple at a prescribed time and place. None of the Greek words in the New Testament for worship refer to that. They don't refer to what we do here. They refer to work, to the life, all the time. All of life is worship. Heaven is intersecting. This wonderful vision y'all have here of heaven and earth. It's true here, but it's true in downtown Fort Worth. It's true everywhere. That's the revolution. Jesus went into the heavenlies and destroyed all the barriers of worship. What Hebrews is saying is you worship all the time. Heaven's wide open. Come on. All the time. That's what he's saying. So Philippians, here's the words. Philippians 2:17, sacrifice, thusia, and service, liturgia, coming from your faith. That's not talking about church buildings. Romans 12:1-2, offer your body a living sacrifice, spiritual act of worship. Proskuneo, fall down worship, Revelation 4:10. James 1:27, the religion or the threskeia, that's another word for worship that God loves, is to look after orphans and widows. 1 Timothy 2:2, peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness. Eusebia, worship. That, just looking at that, I begin to realize how much God loves people in the world. And I didn't sense that I was running away from God when I was in law. I practiced law and preached for 30 years. But I was living in the world as a worshiper. Boy, did I need the church. If you're into full-time worship all the week, you're into full-time service all the week, and whatever your work is, you need to come here. Because that world's off pitch. They're not keeping the pitch. They're off. They're not playing the tune. Here we rediscover the tune, the music. We rediscover the Jesus music when we come in here on Sunday. Worship then destroys career idols. Work inside worship. Work is inside worship. If your work is your worship, you'll never come home. You'll work all the time. There are limits now. I worship all the time, but I come home from work. I rest. Sabbath prioritizes a week. And what I found out is the day begins with sleep. God doesn't. The evening and the morning is the first day. That's the way this works. I join God in what he's doing when I wake up. So there's four church lives here at the end. We do tell lies in church. Worship starts at 10:45 on Sunday morning. Sorry, it starts when you're born again and it never ends. Number two, my job is not the Lord's work. Man, your job is a calling, which is the Lord's work. You're out there taking care of people all the time. You're out there functioning as a divine image bearer all the time. And by the way, who's going to evangelize Fort Worth? It's the people. Who is it that's in contact with all kinds of unbelievers all week long? You are, not the people on the staff. So it's really important that we mobilize. Thirdly, I'm not called. Only full-time pastors are. Come on, everything in the New Testament says the otherwise. This is just something we've repeated like a bunch of parrots. Number four, once I was in full-time ministry, but not now. Come on now, get quiet with that. Get quiet with that. You just change places, but you're in full-time ministry then, now, and everywhere. See, I love what Gerald Manley Hopkins says, and it's 10 after 10 now, and it's time for me to say this and stop. Christ plays in 10,000 places. Lovely in limbs, and lovely in eyes not his. To the Father, through the features of men's faces. He's doing that through you. He seeks to mobilize and mature us. So Lord, as we come to you this morning and as we respond to you, help us to know how radical and wonderful you are. Fill us with a new sense of who we are and what our mission is. We pray in Jesus' name. Would you all stand, and with the praise band and with those who are interceding, come forward. We want you to come and be prayed for. Man, there's all you're going into the world. Just come and get some prayer. You know, there's jobs that you hate that you don't need to leave. Because they're dark places and they need you. But then there's jobs you can't do. They're impossible. You need prayer to discern the difference. So Lord, just be with us now. Help people to get the prayer and the support from the body of Christ, from the Holy Spirit that they need. In Jesus' name, amen.